We have for the last month been talking about the joy of communion with Jesus, the privilege of having a personal devotional life and family life, and opening the Word of God and just taking the time to meditate on it and come into the presence of the Lord and just enter into a relationship with Him that will sustain us through all the bumps and difficulties of life. This is the last installment of that series. And we're going to be talking today about the promises of God, the ABCs of prayer, and how to claim those Bible promises. We've got a lot of couples out here. Valentine's is coming, and I know that you gentlemen are thinking, now what am I going to do special for my wife? My wife is raising her eyebrows at me over here, which form a question mark. Very important to couples and developing relationships within the family is the issue of communication. Communication involves two key elements. The first is talking, and the second is listening. Most of us are very good at talking. Very few of us have learned the skill of listening, careful listening. The same is true in our devotional life. We have to spend time talking to God, which is what we're all very good at in the prayer component. But the part about listening to God, that typically gets some pretty short shift. When do we listen to God? How do we listen to God? As far as I'm concerned, and in my own prayer life, and that's what I can compare it to because I don't know about your prayer life. Thank you, Herbie. I know that taking time to just listen and meditate after praying, you know, I might pray for 10 or 15 or 20 minutes because I've got a whole laundry list of things that I want to bring to God, right? And people that I want to intercede on behalf of and so on. But by that time, my time is up. And I have to rush off into my responsibilities for the day. Is that like you? Do you have time? Do you take the time to now open the Word and allow God to speak to you? To just meditate on that Word? Here's the way I usually like to do it. As we learn from our sermon series on prayer, we start our devotional life by first of all going to God in prayer. We invite the Holy Spirit to come and be our instructor and our guide, just as He's promised to be. And so we prepare for that encounter with God. And then we open our Bible. We allow God to speak to us. We feed on His Word. We drink in the valuable lessons and principles that He wants to share with us. We settle in our mind, we fix in our mind those precious life-changing principles and values that He wants to give to us. And then when we finish with that, it's time for us to talk. We've listened to God talk to us. Now it's time to listen, or now it's time for us to talk to Him. And we typically do that with prayers of petition and prayers of praise, those two elements, praise and petition. And that's where the ABCs of prayer comes in. I first heard about the ABCs of prayer a number of years ago from one of the churches, our denomination's great prayer warriors. His name was Glenn Coon. Anybody heard of Glenn Coon? Yes, a number of you have. He's passed away now. But he's the one who taught me how to pray the ABCs of prayer. Ask, believe, and what is the C? Claim. To claim. Yes, not to confess, but to claim the Bible promises. Now, I know that you know by heart that very famous passage there in Matthew 7:7, where Jesus says, "Ask, and it will be given to you." What else? "Seek, and you will find." And finally, "Knock, and the doors of heaven will be opened to you." We love that, don't we? Typically, we don't even have to ask before God is already moving to answer our prayers. Isn't that true? But that's not always the case. Sometimes God withholds his blessings so that we will ask, so that we will recognize our dependence on him, because without him in our lives, we're nothing. With him in our life, we can do everything. The next part then is the believing, the B, as in belief. Jesus was talking to his disciples, and as they went by this fig tree, he was expecting figs on that tree, wasn't he? Why? Because it looked like it should have figs on it. It had all the leaves. It was mature and everything. But as they explored, there was no fruit on the vine. And he cursed that fig tree. The next day, as they were going by that fig tree, Peter remarked about it. He said, "Look at that fig tree that Jesus cursed. I mean, it's really sad looking. Leaves are all drooping and withering." And Jesus answered there in Mark 11 and verse 37, I believe it is, or 34, right around in there. And he says that if you ask anything in my name, believing, you will receive it. The belief is an important component, because not only are we believing in Jesus, that he loves us and he cares for us and he wants to answer our prayers, but we also believe that he has the power to do that. A key element then is belief. Lastly is the C, the claiming portion. Would you take your Bibles with me for just a moment this morning? This is only going to last for about 10 minutes, and then we're going to be dividing for our ordinance of humiliation. Humility, but would you turn to 2 Peter and let's look at chapter 1 of Peter's letter to the church there in Rome. 2 Peter 1. While you're turning to that, let me just thank Rosa publicly. I don't know where Rosa is, but wherever she is, there she is. Beautiful. Beautiful children's story, and right to the point, Rosa. Thank you so much. We're going to look at verse 3. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. "As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these promises you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." God's character is eternal, is it not? He says that I change not. Same yesterday, today, and forever. And the promises that are built upon the character and the truthfulness of God are the same. Same yesterday, today, and forever. Whatever he has promised in his word, we can take that promise, we can apply it to our lives, we can claim it as our own, and we can expect him then, based on his word, that he will fulfill that. He tells us that over in the book of Numbers, through his reluctant prophet there, Balaam. You may remember the story. I think that's in Numbers 23, yes. 23, let's pick it up there in verse 19, shall we? Numbers 23:19. And there's Balaam speaking. God putting the words in his voice. And he says to Balak, "God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent? Has he said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good? Behold, I have received a command to bless. He has blessed, and I cannot reverse it. When God speaks, it cannot be reversed. When he promises, it's a sure thing. So the question is, how do we get at those promises? How do we learn what the promises are that God has given to us to claim and to apply in our own lives? As far as I know, there's only one way, at least there's only one really good way, and that is to take your Bible, and as you're reading through that Bible and you're following that outline that we've been passing out here so that you could read through in 1 year, you're going to be marking in your Bible those incredible, precious promises. Just like I've done in my Bible, where I come to a promise and I say, wow, that's for me, yes. And I take out my highlighter and I highlight it. Now, some of you prefer to use red, and so you'll underline it in red. Or as we were mentioning in our handout last week, you might have a special little sign, a star, an asterisk or something that you want to put right there in the margin of your Bible so you can come back to that promise and claim it as your own in your prayer life. Now, this is the poor man's way or the easy man's way of finding the Bible promises. Precious Bible promises. Well, there are so many books that include the promises of God in it. And one of the advantages of doing this, I admit there's an advantage, is these are arranged thematically. So whatever need that you might have in your life, you just go to the introduction here and you look down through there in the contents. Here's a promises for my marriage, for my business dealings, for my unsaved loved ones. And then you look up those promises and you claim them for your own. Now, friends, I know that some of you have never done this before, and so I want to do it with you today. If we had time, I would have you turn one to each other and we would do it so each of you would pray, but we don't. So I'm just going to model it up front here, and I'm going to use a text, a promise that's found in Luke, the 22nd chapter. Would you turn there with me? It's also a passage we're going to be using today in our Lord's Supper. Luke 22. An incredible promise. I can hardly wait for this promise to come to pass. Luke 22, and look at verse 29. This is the promise that we're going to claim this morning for each of us as we move into this next part of our service. There it is. And I bestow upon you a kingdom, just as my Father bestowed one upon me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Wow, that's amazing, isn't it? Now, John talks about that. You know, he says it's going to be a great supper in heaven. And Jesus is the one that's going to serve at that supper. And all of the saints are going to be sitting up one side of that long table and down the other. And Jesus will be the one who will bring us our food, and he'll bring us our drink, and he'll serve us. Do you want to be there at that Lord's Supper? Oh, friends, there's nothing more, nothing to be desired more than to have the privilege of sitting at the table with Jesus. And with our families, and with our church family, and all of us together around that table. So let's kneel, and we're going to claim that promise right now. Would you do that with me, please? Oh, Heavenly Father, we're here today. This is your house. We're your people. Your children. You brought us to the kingdom for such a time as this. and our hearts are overflowing as we've been listening to the girls singing. And our souls have been stilled so that we can think and meditate upon your word. And here, Lord, this passage just leaps out from the pages. We believe, Lord, that you want to fulfill this promise in us. And so we want to ask, with our finger here in this passage, in Luke 22, where you have said, Jesus, in verse 29, that you will bestow upon us your kingdom, that we can eat and drink at your table and judge on thrones. We believe, Lord, that that's something that you want to happen because you love us and because you long more than anything else to be united with your people, your children. You died on the cross so that that would be a reality. We believe, Lord, that you have the power to make it happen. And so right now, we claim this promise. We make it our own. We ask that you will fulfill your word and allow us to sit with you at your table. And we thank you, Father, for hearing now in answering our prayer because we've asked it in the powerful name of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And now, Father, as we move into this next part of our service, if there is any division among us, I ask that during this time of humility and foot washing, we will make those differences right. We will confess our sins one to another and to you. And then with hearts that are lifted and rejoicing, we can come back and celebrate the emblems of your broken body. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. And so it's easy, isn't it, friends? Ask, believe, find the Bible promise, and claim it for your own. And trust God to fulfill it and thank Him for it. Now we're going to move over next door. For those of you who are new, I know that some of you, this is your very first communion service. God bless you. I know you're going to be richly blessed as a result of it. If you don't know what to do, though, you just follow the brothers and sisters that you've learned to worship with and learn to love and watch what they do. And you'll get the pans and the water and you fill it up and the towels and so on. And there'll be somebody over there. There'll be a deacon or a deaconess to help you through the process, beautiful process of washing each other's feet. And then when we finish over there, we'll come back over here and we'll meet every other pew. Sit in every other pew so that we can enjoy the next part of our service. If for some reason or other you're not able to attend and participate in that service and you'd like to just remain right here, that's fine. We encourage everyone, whether you're a member or not, we'd like you to enjoy this part with us. But if you would prefer to stay here, there'll be some quiet, meditative music playing and you can stay here until we return. Thank you. And in the same way that we feast on the bread of life, we also take in and drink of his life-giving blood. Take you all of it and drink. Brad, you're going to lead us in a song, I believe. understand. Heavenly Father, our spirits soar as we come to the end of a freeing worship service like this, and we recognize that we are sinners, but we're saved by grace. We stand upon your promises, Lord, as we go forth from this house victorious in Jesus. And we know, Lord, that your Spirit will guide us and direct us and multiply our ministries through this new week until we come again to worship you. Thank you for being our God and our friend. In Jesus' name, amen. As you leave,